The Real Kipper and Bourne Show goes national. We're live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. In a few minutes, we'll welcome in Jason York, co-host of the Coming in Hot Sens podcast. Always fun to have Jason York on. Close to 800 games played in the National Hockey League.
Coming in hot. Sens, goals last game.
Tons of pressure on them. Our Elliot Friedman said that they will win the Atlantic Division.
I think he said they'd win the cup.
What?
No.
Oh,
he said
God.
They'd make playoffs.
Make the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But let's build them up.
Still no Allmark tonight.
No. Allmark.
I had my buddy, Chris Jetty, he's a Sens fan. He said, you know, he's a little worried about the way you and Valley have been talking about Allmark. And yesterday the joke was, oh, they're playing New Jersey next. I bet you Allmark's not ready. Allmark's not ready. And I think people are getting nervous.
I don't know. Listen, Valley's my goalie expert.
Yeah.
I'm just
It's like
I'm
a
just
coach
a
like, wash your hands of it. It's like, that's our goalie guy. I don't know.
He just gave me a whole new world to think about on top of what I ever thought as a player looking at a goalie.
Yeah.
Where I just, at the end of the day, looked at him and said, yeah, you guys are nothing but targets.
Forsberg going to have to be pretty good.
Oh, and he was not very good last time we saw him.
But he can be. I like Forsberg.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it'd be interesting to get Jason York's take because we saw a huge signing by the Dallas Stars and how the goaltending market apparently has been reset at $8.25 million. Jake Oettinger,
you tweeted about the tax
eight times 8.25, identical contract to Jeremy Swayman of the Boston Bruins.
But not identical money.
Well, my good friend Stu Gavin and Gavin Management, but now it's Cardinal Point because Stu made a lot of money.
Way to go, Stu. He managed that well. Pretty damn good.
Congrats,
but my good buddy Matt Bagioki still has this calculator on their site that you plug in everyone's salary, and then you can go literally team by team to see what's left after taxes.
Yeah.
And the difference between Oettinger's 8.25 and Jeremy Swayman's 8.25 is $415,000, I think, per season.
Oh, my God.
It'd be nice just to get the difference.
I mean, it's almost like it's a competitive advantage.
$3.3 million over the course of the contract.
Well, gee, I wonder why all these guys sign in these places with no tax.
But,
what a great advantage.
Also, it also doesn't even take into effect, you know, what's the cost of living in Dallas compared to Boston? I tried to rent an apartment in Boston once.
But you can't go within like a half an hour for a decent hotel these days in New York and Boston for like $800 a night.
It's insanity.
It's crazy.
You can buy a home in Dallas for
the cost of hotels.
One night at a hotel to fall asleep. $800.
It is wild. Hotel prices are insane.
Insane. But the industry's never been hotter. Like,
yeah,
people are challenged up to their eyeballs with inflation and cost of living and grocery prices, and these guys have never made more money.
No.
The hotel industry.
Did a City News 680 segment just break out here?
Here's what we think the Fed should do about it.
What were we talking about again?
Oettinger's contract making $400,000. But, not to be Toronto guy in the National Hour, but I will represent Toronto guy. I'll represent other markets that have high taxes. Shouldn't the league do something about this?
No.
Why the hell not? Why do you always say no to that question?
It's not their business.
But it's
taxes aren't their business.
So I guess the answer to my question is yes, but Gary Bettman wants the non-traditional markets in the South with no tax to have more success than the ones that drive the revenue of the league.
No,
because that's what's happening.
It is happening, I agree.
It happens every year.
I don't
every
think
team
Gary
that wins a cup
gives a flying you know what about
that sucks.
Taxes.
It sucks. Because you look at what I mean, every final for the last 5 years or whatever has had a no tax team in it. Mm-hmm. It's a competitive, we have the proof of it being a competitive advantage. So
now,
it sucks.
Do hockey players, would they start, like, would they get paid as a business? Are they able to?
Yeah. Sure. They can incorporate, they can find different ways to save money, and there's
to not pay it all.
There is this deferred RCA, and I think
that's the Tavares.
I think it may have to do with Tavares trying to save $8 million, but
can't blame him.
The biggest
buy a lot of amulets. For
the biggest argument now. The biggest argument now.
Glorious amulet.
Where governments and are looking at. Especially signing bonuses, mm-hmm. right? What is a signing bonus? A signing bonus should be, this is your money just for stroking your signature on a check. It's an incentive for you to sign. But is it really incentive, or is it hidden in real money as a salary?
And if you're incentivized to sign the contract, you're incentivized once. You're getting that signing bonus in some cases every year.
Yes.
So what sense does it make?
So there's so many arguments from the government side to say it's not a signing bonus, because if the guy quits tomorrow, a signing bonus is guaranteed and he doesn't have to return the money. Mm-hmm. And if he quits tomorrow, you're not paying him the signing bonus.
Right.
So you're just hiding it into a base salary.
And now there's guys deferring salary so they can collect it when they live somewhere with lower taxes. Which I'm sure the government is.
Yeah,
like Shohei Ohtani, he's getting paid. Shohei, he's getting paid three bucks a year, and he's going to make $750 million down the road.
So yeah, so how is that don't possible? Get taxed on it now. Get taxed on it when you retire and you're back in Sweden or back in wherever you're from.
Do you think people are enjoying this? It wouldn't take my taxes in Sweden. I can tell you that. Do you think people are enjoying the CPA hour here?
I think
my boy. Darren Roche on here.
I do think it matters, though, in the conversation in terms of these teams. Like, being able to tell a guy you're going to make $400,000 extra dollars a year is a pretty easy sell.
Incentive.
It's a pretty easy sell.
So Stamkos goes from Tampa Bay to Nashville, and they're very friendly, too, on the taxes,
Yeah, I think he's
too.
No tax either way. He's laughing.
Oh, he's laughing.
Yeah.
Do you think nice. Jason York paid his taxes, or do you think... are people looking for him? Let's welcome in Jason York, co-host of the Coming In Hot Sens podcast. Yorkie, how creative was your accountant?
Okay, well, is there a statute of limitations here?
7 years, I think, buddy. 7 years.
Listen, this whole tax thing in Canada is hogwash. You can actually make more money if you play in Canada, if you have a proper tax accountant. Guys do it all the time. It's mm-hmm. called an RCA.
Yep.
You can pay 20% tax. You know the cash flow kipper.
Yep.
You gotta be able to go to an American city later in your career and spend 2 years though. So I don't buy that thing. I listened a little bit of your guys' conversation there. If you have the right people around you and you do some good tax planning, it could actually be more advantageous for you to play in Canada. It really can.
Really? Curious, because Tavares is going through some debate with the government over that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, I saw that.
So later in your life, you have to spend 2 years in an American city?
Don't quote me on this, but you can basically set up a tax planning strategy where your money goes into a trust and you take X amount of dollars out to live on, and then when you go to the States, you pull it out at a lower tax rate. Yeah. It's a little bit of a loophole. I'm probably going to get some guys in trouble here, but it's totally legal. It's totally legal. It's and some players take advantage of it. Some players don't. But the smart players do.
All right, pal, enough of the accounting.
I'm not an accountant, boys. I've got grade 11 math, right? So this is just...
You do?
This
I failed grade 11 math.
We play one on TV. Every year, whether we played or not, Yorkie, a lot of optimism when it comes to training camp. Everybody's got great draft picks. Everybody's got the guy that's going to be the answer for their hockey club, and then the dust settles, and then we get to American Thanksgiving. But where are you now when it comes to the Ottawa Senators compared to what you saw last year, moving into this year, Travis Green, you know, the blue line without Chychrun.
A lot better, Kipper, a lot better. If you look at what Steve Staios addressed in the summer to where this team was last year and to where they are right now, number one, they couldn't get a save last year to save their lives. I think they led the league in goals scored on first or second shots of the hockey game. So 22 times last year, Borny, I know you're a stats guy, you'll love this. 22 times last year, they gave up a goal on the first or second shot of the hockey game.
Insane.
You can't win that way. It's insane. It's insane. So you got to think just having Ullmark here is probably going to account to at least, I don't know, 10 to 12 more points in the standings than add in what they did on the blue line. Like, they had way too many left shots to play the same way. They had Shabbat, they had Chychrun, they had Sanderson, and they had Brännström, all left shot, like pretty well power play guys. So you bring in Jensen. I know he's older, but I think he's a better fit. And he's a right D that just plays defense. And that's what they needed. Klevin's a rookie. He's a big body, which they need. It's going to take him some time. But they did some nice things. I love the Jensen move. The Ullmark trade was, to me, an absolute steal. And then getting him signed to the contract they did a couple weeks ago, I thought was a real nice number. And then you brought in some veterans, Kipper. Like, that core needed guys like a David Perreault to come in, say the right things. And just, he's been there, done that, right? He's won a cup before. So I like the moves they did. Also, too, I thought Amadio was a nice under-the-radar signing, guys. He's on their third line. So to me, they've got some more depth. They've got a goaltender. They got a right shot. I think they're a much better hockey team. They're 2-1, but tonight's going to be a really good test, guys, because I think New Jersey's a real good team.
How do you think the organization views themselves competitively, like in terms of making further additions this year? Do you think that is, they'll be saying, hey, we've identified where, you know, we could steal a couple pieces and we might be able to actually get in? Do you think they would do it?
I think so. I think anytime you go out and you pay for a number one goaltender, right, like what they did, and you go out and sign some veterans, I think in a perfect world, they want to be a team that's right there come the last 10 games of the season and be in the mix to get in the playoffs. I think that's where this team is right now. That's where they view themselves as a team that can get in if they get goaltending, the signings play to the way they do, and their young core, which is Stützle, which is Tkachuk, Batherson, Ridley, Gray, Pinto, if those guys all take another step this year. So, yeah, I view them that way. They view themselves that way. But you know, you got to do the math, right, guys? Every year, if they're getting in, who's coming out? That's what I always do, and it just, man, it's never been tougher to make the playoffs. But I think they'll be there in the mix in those last 10 games. I really do.
You mentioned Ullmark. The hope, I think, was to see him against New Jersey, but he's going to take an extra day off. But was the game against LA a friendly reminder of if you don't have great goaltending, you're in big, big trouble.
Oh, and they LA left Kemper in for all eight, fellas. All eight. Like, that was tough to watch on both sides. It was a bad, even Travis Green came on the other day and he asked and goes, we need some saves. So it's a good reminder. I'll give Forsberg a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, though. One of the three goals he let in, one was unstoppable, one was a lucky bounce. I think out of the three, he probably wants one back. So he wasn't terrible. It was just they came so quickly in the first period. So, yeah, for sure. This team's not going to be a playoff team without Linus Ullmark. That much is for certain. Like, that's why they brought him in, guys. He's that's why he's here.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, and he is going to play an important part. Tell me about the core of that team and where you think it's at. You know, we've watched it in Toronto for years. You get excited about good young players, and then you kind of wait for them to become winners. You know, is Stützle ready to find that next level, and is Giroux still got it in him at this stage in his career?
I think Claude's still got it, guys. That fire in him still burning. Like, he's a competitive guy. He stays here in the summer. I know who he trains with. He trains hard. He's still in great shape. So to me, Claude Giroux is still a good player. The question is Stützle ready to lead this team? You know what? Time will tell. Let's watch the first 10 to 20 games here. I know he had a great summer. He's put on a little bit of that man strength. You start getting a little bit later, you know, early on, you don't have it. Now he looks like he's thicker. He's more filled out. He's off to a good start. Like, he's got 6 points in his first three games. He can be dominant at times. The thing with Tim Stützle, he just has to eliminate the decisions, the bad decisions you make, the young decisions you make at the blue line. And we'll see. Like, I think he's going to be a star in this league. At times he shows he's a star in this league, but it's got to be consistent all the time.
Has Stützle been their best forward?
He's been really good. Do you know who's been really good to start the season off, guys? It's Drake Batherson. Mm-hmm. That game against L.A., he made two really big plays. He got the primary assist on Norris's tying goal, and then he made a heck of a play in overtime. Stützle started it off, but Batherson, he's just got really good patience with the puck. He takes a lot of heat in Ottawa for his defensive side of games, but he is, for people that don't really follow the Ottawa Senators, he's a really sneaky good player. So I think between Batherson and Stützle, they've been the two best forwards.
Now, where's Jake Sanderson on the scale of about to be an NHL star? Is this the year? Is it going to happen? Because he seems real close to me. I love the player.
Yeah. Barney, he does. Like, if you're a hockey nerd like yourself, like me, you watch little things that players games. Yeah. Like, I watch when he goes back for pucks. And if he doesn't have some time, he's able to get separation. Maybe it's a spinorama move. Maybe he'll go slow, then go fast. But he does so many little things. I don't know if he's ever going to be a guy that gets 70 points because he loves defending. And when you defend that much, you got to give up some offense, right? Yeah. So I am a big fan, guys. That much I can tell you. I just think of all the young defensemen in the league right now, I'd put my money on him as being the best two-way defenseman. I'm talking about defending and offense because he can skate. He can move the puck. But I also love how he defends, Bourne. He's just – this guy loves to be matched up against the other team's top forwards. He takes it on as a challenge. And, you know, you don't see that often in young defensemen who just come into the league.
So here in Toronto with Craig Berube, there's been a feel that things are different. We got an example of it last night when the Leafs were up by a handful of goals and he still called a timeout to give them crap. Where's Travis Green on his impact so far for the Ottawa Senators?
First of all, I love how Berube coaches fellas. I love that. The guy, I actually think he's going to change some of the culture in Toronto. I really do. But as far as Travis Green is concerned, they had a really tough training camp. Like, he's notorious for having hard camps. So number one, he came in. And in years past, Ottawa was accused of being a little bit of a country club. Like, guys would, you know, wasn't a lot of guys were pretty comfortable. I thought he came in and had a real tough camp. And then now they've got some competition, like with those guys they brought in, like Amadio, like Perron. There's going to be internal competition throughout the lineup. Ridley Gregg's actually another player that's taken a step. So I think the players amongst themselves are going to be, you know, Kipper, with good. If you want to be a good team, to me, it's got to come from within your room. So I think internally that's going to happen. But I think Travis is going to be a guy that holds these guys accountable as well. So if you see a guy having a shift off, he's not going to be afraid to sit him down and put somebody else out there.
So kind of a fun stage in Ottawa Senators fandom, I would say. You just got a new owner who's willing to spend money. You have some bright young stars, and you're hopeful. You got a goaltender now. You got a new coach. Things are coming together. Where are we at on the rink? Is this the sort of the next step? I think fans have a lot to be excited about. Is that one of them?
I think so. I think the rink's still a little bit away, Barney.
Yeah.
Like, I think in a perfect world, it's there in probably 6 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's still, I think that's probably the time frame. There's still a lot of stuff that needs to get done. But I do think it will be down there. It's just going to take some time. And in the meantime, they're doing some work here on the rink. Like, they're fixing things up. They're making the viewer experience better for the fan. I know they've done a massive reno on the players' locker room, the gym and all that. So it's going to come. It's just, it's like everything, especially in Ottawa, guys. Like, there's a lot of bureaucracy to get around here. So, you know what? That'll all get sorted down. But I think realistically, in a perfect world, you're probably looking at 6 years.
Is downtown still the only spot for the new rink? Because there has been growth over the years outside of downtown. And I think 10 years ago, 5 years ago, was a no-brainer. You'd love it downtown. But is it still today the place that they have to be?
You know what's funny, Kipper? Where they're going to put the rink, LeBreton Flats, if you're familiar with downtown Ottawa, it's not exactly right in the downtown core. It's kind of off to the side. But the nice thing about this site, it's really accessible to Quebec. And one of the big things Michael Andlauer and his group have tried to done is they've tried to re-engage the fans from Gatineau and the fans from Hull. And in years past, those fans were ignored. So being there, it's basically just a five-minute drive over the bridge. That's a big reason why they like this parcel of land. And it's also, you know, downtown Ottawa, it's close enough where this is going to help invigorate it. Because don't forget what's going on in Ottawa, guys. You got the government of Canada here. Nobody was going to work for the last 4 years. So they built this light rail system that's going to take everybody to downtown. So now they really need this rink, not only for the hockey club, but to get people going back downtown again. So the Senators actually had some leverage in this where city wants it, team wants it, everybody wants it. It's good for everybody.
They need to work on the transit though, correct? Like that's a big that's a big deal.
Kipper. If it gets too cold here, the transit doesn't work. It's ridiculous, and it's taken forever to build. It's just it's been a complete gong show. It'll eventually get going, but it's just, you ask anybody in Ottawa what grinds their gears, it's this light rail that they started to build. Costing way too much money and taking way too much time.
Just a fantastic political show we're doing today.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
We got tax, we got tax advice. We got politics. What else do you guys want?
How about the infrastructure issues of Ottawa?
So, okay, let's turn it back on Elliott Friedman. He said that the Senators are the next dynasty in the NHL. They'll win three consecutive Stanley Cups.
He did say that.
Where are you? Where are you on the Sens making the playoffs this year?
I'm of the mind they're going to be in the mix at the end, fellas.
Are they going to get in?
I predicted they would get in. Like, I see them as a wild card. That was my prediction. We did our coming in hot show, so I got to stick with it. And to me, it's going to be all dependent on Linus Hallmark. Like, we can talk all we want about the young core. We can talk about the D. If you don't have a goalie, it doesn't matter what you do. You got to have a goalie. So in my opinion, they have a goalie now, which is why I have them to make the playoffs.
What is Hallmark's issue? How come he's not playing tonight? Did he pull something? He's not feeling right?
I think it's a groin strain. This is my personal opinion.
Yes.
Just based on training camp. He was out skating today, looked pretty good, taking his goalie drills. I think they're just being cautious. You know the old thing? Why turn a strain into a pull?
He's got mad cow disease.
Mad cow disease.
How about the competitors trying to climb into the playoffs from in the Atlantic? Do you like Buffalo or Detroit more? Who's more of a threat to the Sens?
I think Detroit's not quite at Ottawa's level. I look at the goaltending again. Who's your goalie there? If it comes down to the last 10 games, I'm going to take Ullmark over Detroit's tandem. Right. Same thing with Buffalo. To me, if you look at the good teams in the league, they all have something in common versus, you know, Edmonton's different, Colorado's different, although Colorado's on four, but there seems to be a good, you look at Dallas, Ottinger, you look at the Rangers, Shesterkin, you look at Florida, Bobrovsky, mm-hmm. You can go around the league, like, unless you've got a supercharged team, you need a goalie, and that's why I kind of have Ottawa a nudge above the Buffaloes and Detroits of the world.
Jorgen, we saw the Edmonton Oilers save their last game late in the third period to come up with their first win. But Nashville, 0-4, Colorado, 0-4. What do you attribute to these teams that we thought were going to compete for the Stanley Cup this early?
So who's carrying the puck through the neutral zone in Nashville? Like, you got a bunch of shooters. Like, you got guys that aren't puck carriers, puck guys that transit the puck through the neutral zone. Mm-hmm. I know they've got goaltending, their defense, but I love Stamkos as a player. Love the other moves they made. I don't find them down the middle to have the guys that you need to create time and space so your shooters can get the shots off. So I was a little bit bewildered by some of the moves they made. I love Trotsky. I played for Trotsky for a couple of years. I hope they do well. I hope it's a blip in the radar. I just don't see Nashville as a playoff team this year.
No, I'm good.
All right, pal. Really appreciate your time. Yorkie, always a pleasure to have you on our show.
Anytime you want tax advice, Kipper, just
thanks, Yorkie. Appreciate your insight, buddy.
Hey, do you do medical advice? I know we've got an orthopedic surgeon now on our show, but Jason Smith. But do you do medical?
Dude, I've had so many injuries. Like, I'm actually probably could be a registered physiotherapist. injuries, just let me know, man. I'll help you out.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate your time.
That is Jason, your co-host of the Coming in Hot Sens podcast. So a lot of excitement there.
About our political conversations? Excitement in Ottawa.
Yeah. And not to go back and beat this up, but like he talked about the location downtown and the ability for people maybe to come from Quebec. Mm-hmm. But like, so if transit sucks as bad as he said, like where's everybody parking?
Like buddy, I don't know.
It's a small piece of land.
I've been to Ottawa, I think, twice ever. So yeah. I don't know. I can't.
And we looked at it. My group looked at it.
Yeah.
And it was a challenge downtown.
I like that he said that the city is incentivized to build transit.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's on the same page here.
Eventually it'll come.
That's good when you have everyone on the same page. All I know is watching the difference for the New York Islanders when they finally got a proper rink with proper transit to the building.
Yeah.
It's night and day when you can get mass people to the rink. It's really nice.
Yeah. I take the subway to Leaf games.
So is Willie Nylander.
Yeah, you and Willie.
Do you?
I do.
You'd be nuts not to take it.
Yeah, it is the easiest way to get in.
Well, and the way everybody left the lower bowl last night in a 6-2 win, you'd think that they all were driving on the Gardner.
Don't fan shame.
That was a joke. Why are you leaving? Your team... You're not going to say the stay
for the 7:30 start.
Oh, yeah.
It's late. People got to get up in the morning.
Yeah. Every single person in the lower bowl who had seven glasses of Chardonnay had to leave immediately. Give me a break. You're not going to stay for the Maxi Nightingale?
For what?
The three stars? You're at the Leaf game. They just don't care. That's the thing that drives me crazy. They don't care. They're just like, oh, yeah, we get to come and watch our Leafs. We got our ticks comped. We don't care. Out we go. People
they're not comped.
They're rich.
They're not comped.
No, true.
They paid $800 for a pair.
Out of their pocket.
In the golds.
And they're like, oh, we don't care. This is disposable income. Who cares?
This is easily the weirdest show we've ever done.
No, it's just, it drives me crazy. Like, the Leafs are literally put a beat down on a team, and you're up 6-2, Tavares scores. Everyone heads for the exits. What are we doing? They're winning. It's insane.
Just go to the next game and stop them.
I would, like, if
can't
I was...
Can't afford to.
Yeah. Are you kidding me, buddy? I'm not you guys. I don't make all the money on this show. I can't afford to go to a Leaf game. If I'm going, I'm going to the press box, applying for a press pass. Anyways. It just pissed me off last night. I couldn't believe that.
I'm blocking you on my Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, Kipper,
what a loser.
You'd be hardy. I mean, you'd be halfway home by this, halfway through the second period.
Joe Bowen and the Mercedes.
Share club, one or the other.
Do you need a break to calm down?
Yeah.
Or would you like to go to game time?
We need a break.
We'll take a break. We better head out early.
Okay.
Just in case, you know. If you leave the game 2 minutes early, you might not get stuck in traffic on the Gardner.
Traffic on the Gardner, pal.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot better if you leave 1 minute early. No question. You're beating the Gardner. It's two lanes. It's going to be bad.
Jeez. Time to go to commercial break?
Please. Yes.
And get Sammy to calm down.
I'm done.
More Real Kipper and Bourne.
Chamomile tea for everyone.
After these words.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
Last block. Game time, news and notes. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Let it rip, Sammy.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. A couple ones I was looking at for tonight. Edmonton Oilers -130 at the Nashville Predators. +110 on the money line for the Preds. feels like that was a bit of a monkey off the back for the Oilers.
Yeah.
They're going on the road for the first time here, maybe a little bit, you know, team bonding, guys getting together, they're going out there. Maybe Connor McDavid will crack a smile on this road trip and they can have some fun, maybe win a game. Maybe not. Maybe him and Leon will just be grumpy the whole time as usual. But give me a Edmonton Oilers win tonight on the money line at -130.
Grumpy, aren't they?
They are. Like every
it's a long year to be
God, honest. They're just grumps.
I guess they've been losing.
Why are you so pissy?
Bingo. The San Jose Sharks are in Chicago. The Chicago Blackhawks are -190 favorites against the San Jose Sharks. I don't think either of these teams are particularly good. I think they both actually reek, in fact. I think they both suck. So give me the San Jose Sharks, +160, yeah, as an underdog. Oof.
Absolutely.
And
Sharks are bad, though.
Yeah, they're both bad. They're both bad hockey teams.
Well, kind of lends towards a lot of bad teams out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And the LA Dodgers, again, -135 tonight at the New York Mets. I picked my Mets last night, and boy, they got smoked. 9-0 final.
Well,
baseball's crazy.
Well, New York, the state of New York would love a Subway Series. Mm. It's got to be Yankees and Dodgers for the ultimate.
Oh, my God.
Ultimate,
if you're MLB, you're dying for those two markets.
You can't. At the end of the day, it's say what you will about New York being the biggest city in the world. It's still like it's a regional World Series.
That's like getting Rangers-Hawks in the finals. Like, that's like the cream of the crop for them to have. But I'm actually going to go back to the well tonight. New York Mets have been bouncing back all year, and I think they're going to bounce back again tonight. Give me the New York Mets again tonight.
As we have Mr. Met on our TV here. Yeah. This is
And they are +115. So a bit of a dog, bit of a plus money. They've been bouncing back all year. A
couple of bucks.
And if they're going to have any chance, they got to win tonight. So give me the Mets. And that
the
was
amazing Mets.
There we go.
Why do they call them that? Because they're amazing.
That was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Pittsburgh Penguins and the Buffalo Sabres last night went into overtime.
Yeah.
And a Malkin Crosby show last night, both hitting milestones. Yep. And we saw the love fest, I think, after the game with those two guys and
Biz,
the panel of TNT. So life's all good.
You listen to it? So Lundqvist goes on and he's talking about how basically
miserable he made them.
Yeah. Like, and then who's the host there again?
Liam McHugh.
Does a great job.
He's really
But then he's just like, hey, Hank, did you know that you're the goalie that Sid has the most points against and Gino has the most goals against? Did you know that, Hank? And I was like, oh, my God.
Legs out from
you guys must have a great relationship. Like, holy crap.
But Gino was right. They've played him 100 times.
Of course. They've played a million games against him, so it makes sense. But, yeah, I think it's pretty amazing. And, listen, we can talk all you want about the Dubas stuff, and it's hard for me to root for them because of that. But it's incredible that these guys are still playing together.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for Sid. Wasn't like the end of the Hextall-Burke thing? They were going to let him walk, and then there was the conversation with Sid. There's a whole story about how they wanted to keep all those guys together. It's amazing that they're still playing together. He's in year 18.
They're going to have a lot of fun nights like last night to get them close.
They let five up against.
What a goal by Gino from the ice.
Yeah, on his ass.
Yeah.
Third or second in scoring in the NHL has 8 points. Evgeny Malkin leading your National Hockey League with 11.
That's awesome.
And
really cool.
I love Evgeny Malkin.
They put, is it Rutger?
Rutger McGroarty.
McGroarty.
Hardest name ever to say.
Eat a spoonful of peanut butter and say that name. Rutger McGroarty.
This is the guy that kind of gave Winnipeg I want to go play in the NHL somewhere else. And. Mm-hmm. No, he's not playing in the NHL.
Yeah, he's a young buck.
Yeah.
He's got time. But, yeah, I know some people, you thought that was, you enjoyed that as a Dubas guy.
He's a kid. He's going up and down.
Yeah.
But it was more bucks. I was fired up about that. But here's what I'll say. On the broadcast on Saturday night, Chris Cuthbert does a wonderful job for Sportsnet, was talking about Rutger's dad and how Jim McGroarty's like, if you should, this is how I know he's a hockey guy. He's like, go check out Jim's Hockey DB. Mm-hmm. It's one of the best Hockey DBs you'll ever look. So I went and looked at it. It is an incredible Hockey DB. Like, some of the weirdest teams that I never even knew existed. He played with Wayne Gretzky's brother, Brent, with the Asheville Smoke for a year.
Oh, you don't remember the Asheville Smoke?
No, I do. I actually went to a game when I was a kid there.
Or is Asheville in Ontario?
It's in North Carolina.
No idea they existed.
North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Asheville, North Carolina. Went to a game with my dad, my great uncle.
Very obscure.
Yeah, so there you go.
favorite hockey DB page, Jared Scaldi. I think he played for 21 teams or something, like seven leagues. Good one. Anyway.
What were the 1993-1994 Daytona Beach Sun Devils like? What was that like as a hockey team?
I know we got into all the tax talk about Jake Ottinger's contract, but like they're all in with this guy, obviously. Yeah. But like, and he had that incredible playoff series against Calgary, but is there enough for you to say that? Or is it kind of split whether or not this guy will be the man that they think?
You know, the contract, I think you got to do shows. It right. Like you, it's so hard to find a number one goalie, get him in your jersey, and then keep him. You just got to hope, right? You cross your fingers. I don't have like some impassioned opinion that he's like garbage or he's amazing. I actually hate this take more than any take, particularly when we have guests on and they're like, we'll see. But that's kind of how I feel about Ottinger, where it's like, I agree there's been some concerning playoff moments, but you just got to cross your fingers.
I'm not convinced on him.
No.
I think he's good. I think he's good enough. But there's been moments where I think he could be a lot better, especially in that series against the Oilers. Mm-hmm. I thought they shot a few holes in him pretty convincingly.
Oilers do that, though.
For sure. They made a lot of goalies look like that, including Connor. Yeah.
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 Can I? Oh, by the way, I did think of the U.S. team's goaltending situation heading into the face-off.
Okay, so
could they make a trade?
What's it called?
Could we trade for one of them? Four Nations face-off. Come on, it's our product. Come on.
Ottinger, Swayman.
Yeah, they're going to have Hellebuck and Swayman, Hellebuck. And then Ottinger.
So who's
isn't
who's
Demko American too?
Yes, but Demko's.
Who's starting for you right today?
Swayman.
Honestly, it's probably Swayman. But Hellebuck is everyone. He just won the Vezina, guys. He's okay.
Yeah, and he was.
I've seen him in a lot of big games.
Swiss cheese in the playoffs.
But it's more what Valley said about his playoffs, that he's like, I thought I played pretty good. That wasn't on me.
Yeah, like, I think I would be happier with Ottinger or Hellebuck as a Canadian hockey fan. I mean, I watched Connor McDavid shoot holes in him. I watched Nathan McKinnon shoot holes in Connor Hellebuck.
It's definitely where Canada is weakest. You look at, like, Finland, they got Saros and Luukkonen.
Yeah.
And then Sweden is Markstrom and Allmark.
Yeah.
And then we're you and me.
Yeah.
Kipper is third string.
Yeah. Montembeau is on some boards.
Yeah.
You know, Aiden Hill, Bennington is on some boards. Like, it's...
Roll those dice, baby. Roll
get
those
hot,
dice.
Like Kipper playing craps.
I will say our forwards are still absurd, and like the demise of Hockey Canada. People need to get a little bit loaded. I just hear a lot of other nations getting a little bit horned up about how they're catching up and they're getting better than Canada.
Well,
it's like
Sam McKee, I have some information for you.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. The amount of Canadians in the NHL compared to Americans. There is 41.2. James Myrtle wrote an article he does every year for The Athletic on, you know, stats, heights, weights, whatever. Yeah. And I think it's fascinating. Mm. 41% of the NHL Canadian this year, 28.6 American, which is way, way up. 20 years ago, 15% of the NHL was American. We're almost at 30.
They're going to take over.
They are.
Just the percentages.
A decade ago,
numbers.
It was 23. We're up to 20, almost 29.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Mm. So.
It's just, hockey's growing. Texas, California.
Oh, Pittsburgh, Chicago, California.
They're all, it's all.
D.C.
It's just the percentages.
Yeah. Okay. They got nine times the population or whatever.
Yeah.
We got to fight. We got to dig in.
I'm okay. Honestly, like, they can create as many hockey players as they want. It's fine. But they just
can't have the best ones.
Till they lose the gold medal game to the U.S., and you're crying like a baby.
I will be weeping.
Weeping.
Weeping. Like,
and, and then Justin and I and Stan the Man will call you a loser.
I have to
loser.
Say.
Loser.
There's not a lot of outcomes that horrify me more than losing a gold medal game to the USA. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'd take
no, I was
any
gonna
other,
sting you.
I'd take any other nation. I would take, oh, I'd take Russia. I'd take Sweden.
Go
I'd
ahead,
take
checks. Take
anyone.
In the shootout.
USA, that's an outcome I have a tough time with.
Let me give you some interesting factoids, and you could tell me if they're interesting or not, what I think are interesting. No 40-year-olds in the NHL right now. I don't know when the last time that ever would have been. Marc-Andre Fleury, the oldest player, 39.9. Ryan Suter, 39.7. That should surprise you.
40's old.
League getting too fast for 40-year-olds?
40's tough.
Ovechkin, the fifth oldest at 39.1. 10 youngest players in the NHL. The youngest is Jet Luchenko from Philly at 18.2 years old. 18.2.
Looked okay in Edmonton.
Yeah. All right, size-wise, the biggest teams in the NHL, good news, the Boston Bruins are by far the tallest team in the league.
Right.
Adding Zadorov and Riley Tuft had something to do with that, right. I think. But the tallest guy, who's the tallest player in the NHL, fellas?
Hakanpää.
No.
Nope.
The kid in New York.
Do you know how tall?
Oh, Rempe, duh.
Listen, he's growing. He's still growing. I think he started at 6'6". He might be 6'9 right now.
6'9".
Really?
6'9 as a forward in the NHL.
And he's not done.
Klapka, 6'8". There's 29 players who are 6'6 or taller in the NHL at this point. 6'6 or taller? Almost a player per team.
They're all goalies.
That's true.
Actually, not. There is a lot of goalies. That's true. Hildeby, Sogard, Fedotov. All right, shortest players in the NHL this season. Would you like to take a guess who the couple of the shortest are?
Zuccarello. Like,
Zuccarello is tied. Yeah, 5 foot.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing.
5 foot.
No idea.
Five, two.
Eight.
Oh. 5 foot. Two.
I don't know.
Who was that guy that played for the Sabres forever who was tiny? Gerby.
Yeah, Gerby.
Gerby. He was fine.
Five or something. Yeah. 5'8". But at 5'8", you got Stankoven, Brink, Caulfield, DeBrinket, Blackwell.
Robertson.
Is he 5'? No, he's bigger than that.
Is he?
I want to see one player go through someone's legs.
Kenny Wu? Is that the Mighty Ducks player?
MVP.
All right, heaviest player in the league is not Matt Rempe. It is?
Who?
250.
257, Jamie Oleksiak.
Oh, my God.
That's a big mountain of a man.
Almost 260.
And how tall is he? He's big, too.
Eight, I think.
Oh, my God.
He's not a person.
That's a horrifying guy.
And the lightest player in the league is a new player in the league, and people are very excited about this player. And he's in on a Canadian
a Buffalo?
Team.
Mm. No. Okay.
Lane Hutson. Tipping the Toledo
at
160.
Oh my 160? God.
160.
That's a bag.
That was me in grade 7.
That's a bag of feathers.
160 is crazy. Man, but Habs fans are really excited about him. Dash 4 every night, and they say he's the best player on the ice.
Stankoven's 165, too. He's also a wee fella. And finally.
How big is Stankoven?
165
and
5'8" or something.
And 25 of that is his shoulder pads.
Yeah, wearing football pads. What percentage of NHL players currently in the league do you think were drafted in the first round?
Oof!
I never would have got
that number's so low.
I have no idea.
Or is it?
No, I think it's like I'm going to say. I'm going to say 40%.
42.6% of the league was drafted in the first round.
I would not have guessed that.
It makes a lot. I mean. These scouts are pretty good.
And only 11% were undrafted. Congratulations to you.
Yep.
That's incredible.
One of the few to slip through the cracks.
And find your way there.
Anyway. Wow, that's a big number. I thought it would be low.
It does go to show when you are trading picks, try to chill out about thirds and fourths and fifths. And sure, there's the odd Datsuk that shows up, but mostly there's not.
Braden Point to the world. And,
It happens. It happens.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, too, that like even when you've missed, it takes a long time to kick them out of the league because you're too embarrassed. And so you give them chance after chance after chance.
Oh, yeah. Once you've drafted a guy, God, these guys.
They hang on forever.
And fail before someone
yourself gets a look. They hang on for a very long time because
pedigree.
Somebody doesn't want to be.
People's careers are tied to your success.
Yes.
They've said that's a player.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's frustrating for other players when they know that you're better than them.
Yeah.
But they get chance after chance after chance.
Speaking of first-round picks, a lot of them on the Colorado Avalanche.
What's going on? How happy is Nate going to the rink these days?
Not. Speaking of grumps.
0-4. Lost to Boston last night.
Yeah. 0-4. That was one of the interesting things in that article, too. They're a really short team. They've got like 13 players, six foot and under. But to Sam's point earlier today, when we're talking about the Avs, you always thought of their elite players, and they're always going to be good because it's not just Rantanen and MacKinnon, but it's Landeskog and it's Nichushkin and it's Makar. So without two of those, they're hurting. And he was talking about watching the game last night.
Yeah, a lot of Colton.
A lot of Ross Colton. A lot of
Casey Mittelstadt, very involved.
Yeah.
Like he's PP1.
Yeah.
It's like, Really?
Like, they're probably okay. They're not going to be the
goaltending. Georgiev was not the guy.
Turns out he's not the guy.
Not the guy.
Forgiev?
Not that guy.
Georgiev?
Forgiev.
Georgie.
Jason, no, Georgie the fourth.
George the fourth.
That was Rob Brown. Jason Bruff sent out a tweet, or was it one of the, or maybe Mike Halford that said Forgiev, which is very good.
Yeah, it's a good line.
I know we talked. I wrote an article for the Toronto Star today around Mitch Marner. I know we had that conversation on Leaf Nation, but I did bring up the thought that I believe off of that conversation that we could see more scenarios with teams just running out their star players and then filling the void. And I use Stamkos in Tampa Bay leaving and Gensel coming in. Rantanen, I wrote my article today, not close to signing a contract. Colorado's reluctance to bring him close to Nate McKinnon's $12 million. Brad Marchand
is going to have a bargain contract.
Brad Marchand, here's one for you, Sammy. No real talk about him resigning in Boston as of yet.
Mm.
And he's free. He's older, which means that he's not going to get a 7 or 8 year deal, but I'm sure he's looking for 2 or 3 years. Sam Bennett's out there. So will we see more scenarios like the one that just played out recently in Tampa Bay with Stamkos?
My thought on that is that Stamkos is not this unbelievable play driver to me. And I think it's a hockey evaluation as much as anything. And I think you're going to see more of that where
They won 2 Stanley Cups with him and he scored 40 goals. Like, what do you...
Okay, well, Gretzky has 5 cups. You want him on your team?
Not today.
4 cups, sorry. Whatever.
Not today.
That's my point. Like, these guys move past the point where they're helping win you cups. And if they view... That's their opinion, that they don't think he's there. My point is, I don't think Mikko Rantanen is Steven Stamkos. Brad Marchand is.
I love Rantanen. Watching him play, he is so, so good. I think he's still underrated how good he is.
Yeah. Does he have a 50-goal season? He's...
Back-to-back 100-point seasons.
6'3" or something. I mean, he's a...
Player. He is. He's a 55-goal. Last year, he scored 42 goals, 62 assists for 104 points, plus 19, playing 22 minutes a night. He's a legitimate star.
If they don't sign him, and Landeskog can't play hockey, and Nichushkin is a wild card, the Stanley Cup-winning Colorado Avalanche are going to be closer to a rebuild than another cup.
Don't tell Nate that.
Oh, man, Nate. Nate's a bulldog, man. He's scary.
Yeah, sour. He is not in a good mood today.
No.
So, anyways, I mean, I love Rantanen, but you got to think they get it done.
I do have to believe they get it done.
Like, Nathan McKinnon's going to be like, okay, yeah, like, you're going to let him walk over how much? Like, he's the second best player forward on this team. I need him.
You know what I'm curious to see? If we're good on Colorado, is... This Jack Eichel start so far, 8 points in 4 games. You know, he's got a Stanley Cup under his belt. Is this kind of the year?
A thrilling cameo on the Amazon series where we found out that he has a personal chef and the boys come over and they have lunch before they have a nap, which was a really, really exciting part of that show.
That is how I would spend my money if I were.
But it's like, chef, we need a documentary on this. Great.
So do they, like, right after they eat, do they all lay out mats like we used to in kindergarten?
No, they all live in, like, the same area in Vegas. And he's like, oh, Jack Eichel hosts his friends for lunch, and then they have a nap. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm about to have a nap. Anyways, he's good. He's really good. And
the Swayman Kachuk one's
good. He was banged up all year last year. It's just,
so he's a premier player. Every once in a while in New York, you always go out with Mark, eh? And it's like, okay, I got to offer to pay, right?
Yeah.
And he'd look at me and he'd go, oh, I think I could handle it. And I go, you're the best. But that's what those guys have to do, right?
Yeah.
There has to be, that's the way they have to be with their club, right? Yeah. You're making 10 sheets, buddy. Give the boys a personal
chef.
It
was cool to see the guys come down to the American League when I was there. You see Milan Mihalik come down and, like, no one pulled out a wallet on the team for a month. He was just,
that's awesome.
You know,
good for him.
It was not the case with everyone else. Well, there were some other people, but Mihalik.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
He's a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Very political today.
That was our most political show.
News at news and traffic.
Yes, weather next.
All right, thanks to Jason York.
Beautiful, buddy.
co-host of Coming In Hot, the Sens podcast.